Okay, Rabbi, so we're beginning a brand new Masechta and a brand new Seder. Masechta Yevamos Daf Beis. Before we begin the Mishnah, a very, very short Hagdama. As we know, Chas V'Shalom, if a person passes away, leaving no children. He was married, leaving no children. And he has a wife. And Baruch Hashem, the person who passed away, left a brother. So that brother has a mitzvah to go and be miyabim the wife. He can either do yibum, which means he's going to go marry her, or he can go and do chalitza, which means that they are going to separate each other permanently and he will not marry her. Yeah, you have a choice. But that's when there is no other relationship between the surviving brother and the surviving almana. No other relationship. What happens if there happens to be another relationship? For instance, min ha-toira, and even halacha lemaisa, an uncle is allowed to marry a niece. And we had situations here on the West Side years ago. In fact, we had uncles that married nieces.
Really?
Yes. So you have a situation where you have two brothers. One brother has a daughter, and he's trying to look for a wonderful chosin for his daughter. And the very, very best chosin that he can find is his own brother. And it's perfectly permissible. The uncle marries the niece. Fine. Everything is beautiful. Unfortunately, Nebuch, the brother that married that niece, Nebuch passed away.
Leaving no children.
And now, who does she fall even to? Her own father. Can a father be miyabim his own daughter? Of course not. That's what we call an erva. Now, why, in fact, is it the case that the father cannot be miyabim the daughter? Yes, it's taka true that she is an erva. Erva means a incestuous relationship, which is prohibited, for sure. However, don't we have a rule of a mitzvah asay is zoicha a lois esa, and esa is zoicha alav? There's a mitzvah asay of being miyabim. The pasuk says yivoma yovay oleha, that the yavam is supposed to go and be miyabim or give chalitza. Yes, there's a law that he's not allowed to go and marry his own daughter, for sure. Why don't we say esay doicha lois esay? And that's going to be a mitzvah Hashem, the Gemara tomorrow and the next couple of days, where the Gemara is going to go off a little bit on a tangent about the inyan of esa doicha lois esa. But suffice it to say, the Gemara is going to tell us tomorrow that we do not say esa doicha lois esa in this case, because it's a gzeira shava of aleha aleha. What's the aleha aleha? Here in the case of Yibam, it says Yivama Yovoy aleha. And then there's another pasuk, Legabi Achois Ishtoi, where it says Isha El Achois Oleisikach Litzro Legalois Ervosa Aleha Bechayeha. That word Aleha is unnecessary. It's what we call Ibrik, superfluous, surplus,
mufna,
whatever you want. And therefore, just like we have the din of Leisikach Legalis Ervosa Aleha Bechayeha, that's a giloi, that the din of the aleha, the vomi, the aleha does not apply when there is an erva. We're going to talk more about that drashim yet Hashem tomorrow. So now, that's an easy case. Fine. So the remaining brother, the surviving brother, will not go and be miyabim his own daughter. What our mission is going to tell us is a din in tzoreis. Tzoreis is what we call co-wives. As you know, in the good old days, before the Rabbeinu Gershom or Agoila, it was permissible to marry multiple wives. And even in Sephardic countries until recent years, it was not uncommon for people to have multiple wives. And that being the case, what our mission is going to tell us in a moment is that not only is there no chiyuv of yibum or chalitza for that erva, for that daughter in our case, but what happens, let's go back to our case again. We had Reuven and Shimon. Reuven had a daughter. Reuven's daughter married Shimon. No, no problem. Everything is perfectly all right. Shimon, by the way, had another one or two wives. He had a couple of wives. And now Shimon passed away, maybe because he had too many wives. It could be. But anyway, he passed away, leaving over all of those almanois to his brother Reuven. So I would have thought, okay, Reuven cannot marry his daughter, but he should be able to go and marry the other wives and be miyabim them. That's what we call a tzara, a co-wife, where not only is there a ptur on the daughter, there's a ptur on the other one, two, three, four wives that Reuven, that I'm sorry, that Shimon had.
So Reuven doesn't have to be miyabim.
Not only is he doesn't have to, he is prohibited. He's not allowed to marry any of Shimon's wives because one of them happens to be an erva. So there's no requirement of doing a chalitza, of doing a get, anything. Zero gunish because of the fact that the first one happens to be a daughter of his, an erva. So she's potter and all the others.
So she's ma'akev the whole.
She's ma'akev the entire harem of women that were married to Shimon. Okay? Afterwards we're going to talk about Tzaris, but we don't need to get into that now. Let's wait till the other days. So let's start the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Chamesh Esrei Noshim. There are 15 women in that category, 15 women that have the status of an Erva Arroyas. The top choice is, in fact, why doesn't it start off Chamesh Esrei Arroyas instead of Chamesh Esrei Noshim? But that's the Kavanah. 15 women that are an erva, that are an incestuous relationship to this individual, not only can he not be meyabim, and not only does he not have to go and engage in a chalitza for that woman, but point is Tzoris saying the Tzoris are all Zapata, like we just explained, that Shimon had multiple wives. And not only Zapata the Tzoris, but also the Tzoris Tzoris saying in a chalitza. What does that mean, Tzoris Tzoris saying? Let's wait for the Amid Beis. We'll discuss it further. But if that only means Chalitza Umen Ayimim Ad Soif Oilim, until the end of the world. Soif Oilim, what it really means is, even if there are 100 Tzoris and Tzoris Tzoris and Tzoris Tzoris and Tzoris 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 Tzoris, we'll see Mitchem have all these Tzoris in the Amid Beis. Let's wait till we get there. So now, who are the 15 that we're talking about? The Eilohen, Bitoi, Ubas Bitoi, Ubas Benoi, Bas ishtoi, ubas beno, ubas bito. Bito, we know what a bito is. A bito is a daughter. Bas bito is a granddaughter. Bas beno is also a granddaughter. But this is a granddaughter through his daughter, and this is a granddaughter through his son. Is a person allowed to marry his own daughter? No. Is he allowed to marry his granddaughter? No. So therefore, if it turns out that his brother, who passed away, left over a bito, a bas benoi, meaning, again, making it simple, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven's daughter married Shimon, Reuven's granddaughter married Shimon, Shimon unfortunately passes away, Reuven cannot be miyabim any of those, because he's not allowed to go marry Bitoi, Bas Bitoi, Bas Benoi. But the same thing applies to Bas Ishtoi, Ubas Beno, Ubas Bito. So on the surface, that means that Reuven married a woman that had already been married from before. She already had a Zivig Rishon. For her now, this is a Zivig Sheni. And now she's bringing into the marriage not only herself, but also her daughter. Or the granddaughter. Is Reuven allowed to go and marry this woman's daughter or granddaughter? And the answer is no. Now why can't he, after all? It's not related to him in any way. He just married a brand new lady and she happens to have a daughter. What's the problem? So that's a Befeidish Apostolic in Chumash. We have numerous psukim and parashas Achrei Mois, where it says in the pasuk, "Ervas isha uvita loisegalei." Ervas isha, meaning if he marries a woman, that's fine, that's perfect. But uvita, then he's not allowed to go marry the daughter. Es bas benovi, es bas vito. He cannot go marry her granddaughter. So even though nothing to do with him, but just the fact that it happens to be his wife's. From a previous relationship, from a previous marriage, she had a daughter, or she had a granddaughter. He's not allowed to go and marry that daughter or that granddaughter, and therefore, if she, that daughter or granddaughter, married Reuven's brother Shimon, and Shimon passed away, now that Bita or Bas Beno or Bas Bita falls liyibam to Reuven, Reuven says, I can't marry these ladies because they're all an erva based on what it says in the Chumash. And therefore, not only doesn't he marry them, he doesn't have to marry, he cannot marry any tzara, any co-wife that Shimon may have had at the same time. So that's what it says in this pasuk, Ervas Ishu Vita. Now the question is, why does it have to say in the Mishnah, the Bitoi Bas Bitoi Ubas Benoi? After all, L'choira, the Bitoi, is also Bas Ishtoi. How else did he have a daughter? He had a daughter because he married a lady and now they had a daughter. And therefore, when it says in the Mishnah, Bas Ishtai, it doesn't only have to be that she brought a daughter in from a prior marriage. It could also be that they themselves lived together, the husband and wife, Baruch Hashem, and they had a child, and that daughter is both his daughter and his wife's daughter. And if a person were to go and marry his wife's daughter, which also happens to be his daughter, so that's also covered in Ervas Isha Uvita. It's his wife and his wife's daughter. And the same could apply to Bas Bino, Bas Bita, that it's not only his wife's granddaughter, but it's also his granddaughter. So what does the Bitoi, Bas Bita, Bas Binoi add to the Bas Ishtoi, Bas Bino, Bas Bita? And that's why Rashi says, based on the Gemara in Mirtashim right after the Mishnah, that this Bitoi, Bas Binoi is talking about, if you will, an illegitimate Bitoi Bas Bita Bas Binoi. Not illegitimate in the sense of a mamzer, but in the sense of being, the fancy English word is being born out of wedlock. Which means that a man went and unfortunately either was mefata or ma'anes a young lady. In other words, he lived with her without the blessing and sanctity of marriage. And they had a child. They had a daughter. That daughter is called Bitoi Me'anusosai. It doesn't have to be an anusa, that it was a forced relationship, even if it was a consensual relationship. But that's how the Gemara refers to it as Bitoi Me'anusosai, that daughter, he is not allowed to marry, as well as, getting back to our case of Yibam V'chalitza, if that illegitimate daughter, illegitimate in the sense that she was not born to a husband and wife, but born to a consensual or a forced relationship, if his brother Shimon would marry that daughter. And then Shimon passes away, Reuven would not be able to be Meyavim that daughter. Why not? Because it's his daughter. And therefore she would be Pater as well as any of the other co-wives. And the same thing applies to Bas Bita and to Bas Binoi. Bas Bita, Bas Binoi is again the daughter of that daughter, Lemushel, or a Bas Binoi, a similar situation. Bottom line is, any one of these guys, any one of these ladies, are prohibited to him vis-a-vis Aroyos, and since they happen to be prohibited, if and when the brother married them, and then the brother passes away, there would not be a din of Yim or Chalitza, not for them, and not for the Tzar. Now, how do I know that? Where do we learn that from? After all, Rashi says that's not learn from Ervas Isha Uvita Loi Segale. Because Isha, says Rashi, means a Loshen Ishus. Ishus means marriage. That's you have Ishvi Ishtoi. Here, however, we're talking about there was no marriage. It was just a wedlock situation. So where is that? So that we have another pasuk. That pasuk again in Parshas Achrimois. Ervas Bas Bincha Oivas Bidcha Loi Segale Ervas Son. Kiravoscha Heina. Now, if this is talking about a granddaughter from a legitimate marriage, that's already covered by the Ervas Isha Uvita Loi Segale Es Bas Binovi Es Bas Bita. So what do we need the Ervas Bas Bincha Vas Bincha? Says Rashi, and says the Gemara later, this is referring to, in fact, a situation of a person being ma'anis or being mefata, a young lady, and therefore there was no Kedushas Nisuan, no Kedushan at all. That's why it doesn't say Isha in the Pasuk. It just says Bas Bincha Bas. It's his granddaughter, but it wasn't a granddaughter through Ishus. It was through living, as they say, living in sin with a young lady. The Pasuk, however, leaves out the Bitcha case. It just says Ervas Bas Bincha Ivas Bitcha. It doesn't say the Bitcha case. So L'choy, you can go and say, Chakal B'choy, Mardach, he can't go and live with his own granddaughter, he can't live with his daughter. So the answer to that, Akasha, is you cannot learn it from a Kal B'choymer or a Kolish Gate. Why not? Because Ein Mashirin Minadin, the Ein Unshin Minadin. If you're going to go and tell me, if he's not allowed to marry the granddaughter, he's certainly not allowed to marry the daughter. Who said? That would be called Ein Masirin Menadin. And if you're going to go and give a punishment to a person who lives with his granddaughter, and then you say, well, certainly she'll go and punish if he lives with his daughter, that's what we call Ein Oinshin Menadin. So how do we talk and know the din of the din of Bitcha? So Mi'at Hashem, we're going to see that in the Gemara. We're going to learn it out from Gzeir Shove, Heina, Heina, Zima, Zima. Mi'at Hashem, we'll get to that at the end of today's daf. Hashem, help giving us the Yatzah Dishmai. So therefore, now returning to the Mishnah, the Elohim Bita Ubas Bita Ubas Benoi is referring specifically to Bita Manu Sasai. We're not referring to his legitimate daughter or granddaughter, but an illegitimate one that was born without the benefit of Kiddushin. The Bas Ishta, Bas Beno, Bas Bita, therefore is referring to both a daughter that is together with his wife, in other words, a normal, regular situation where Reuven marries a wife, Shprinza, and they have a daughter, so that's his daughter, and it's Bas Ishtoi, or, like we said before, Bas Ishtoi could mean that she brought into the marriage a daughter from a previous Zivik, from a Zivik Rishon. Just to touch on this in the Rashi, look at the Rashi right in the middle of the Rashi, where the line begins, Daf Ayin Hey, in a half a parenthesis, and then it continues on, Ubitoi, skip the parentheses, Ubitoi Dehocha, the Bitimanu Sasei Kamayri. We're talking about not from a marriage, but from an anusa situation. V'chein bas bitoi, and the same thing bas benoi. The ilu bitoi mi ishtoi v'sumbat, a regular normal daughter from his wife. Haynu bas ishtoi, like the Mishnah continues on. The kivan d'chsiv isha uvita, since it says if a person marries a woman and he marries the daughter or lives together with the daughter, that's an erva. No, so leishnami menu, leishnami isha acher. Torah doesn't specify dafka a bita that is from another zivug. It could be that it's an isha, his wife, together with their common daughter that they, for Hashem, both, they got married and they had a daughter. He's not allowed to live with her. So therefore, the bita is a ring to both situations. Leishnami menu, that it's his daughter. Leishnami isha acher. But the bita manusasa, you cannot learn from that pasuk. Why? Because the isha, since it says isha vita, isha ayudei kiddushin mashma, shu ishus. Ishus means marriage. The marriage which was sanctified by the Torah. How do I know bita manusasa? Miachim will learn in the Gemara from the other pasuk.
How about a case of it is bas ishtoi tuanusa? His wife was raped.
By somebody else?
Right.
Okay.
So that's not included then?
That would be included. It's a bas ishtoi. It's his wife, and that's the daughter of that wife.
But then the Kedushin says, the Yalfam, the Isha, the Kedushin, Mashma.
100%. When the Torah is referring to Ayidei Kedushin, it means that he married his wife, Ayidei Chumpav Kedushin. There were 800 people at the Chasana. That was just for the smorgasbord alone. And for the dinner, they had another 500 people coming. So that was his legitimate Ishtoi. She had a daughter. How did she have a daughter? As you just said, now three possibilities. Either together with this husband, Baruch Hashem, a year later they had a baby. Or this is a Zivik Sheni, she brought her from a previous marriage. Or as you say, that unfortunately somebody was ma'anis her and she had a daughter. And any one of those cases, it's an Isha, his wife, Ubita. Why is it her Bita? Makes no difference. Any way that it came out of her womb, it came out of Bita, is also to him because of Erves Isha Vita Loisagai. So now you have all the initial, of the 15, you have initial 6 cases. All of these cases are very, very straightforward. Now the Chamoise, the Eim Chamoise, the Eim Chomov, are really the reverse of the Bas Ishtoi, Bas Beno, or Bas Bita. Let's think about this for a moment. A person, you have again, Reuven and Shimon, two brothers. There's a little static coming there, David, so please, if you can mute the static, thank you. We're in, as you know, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph of Yevamis. We're on the 5th line of the Mishnah. We're talking about the Chamoise, Im Chamoise, Im Chamav. You have over here a situation of, again, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married, Baruch Hashem, and Reuven has a Chamoise. He has a
mother-in-law,
exactly. And this mother-in-law was married to his brother, to Shimon. Okay. And what happens now? Shimon passed away, and the mother-in-law now falls li'imam to Reuven, a person's worst nightmare, that he has his chamoise, his mother-in-law, to go and marry. Now, before we continue on, l'choira, on the surface, this is a non-existent case. Why is it a non-existent case?
Child.
Because she has a child. Who's that child?
The daughter that
married to Reuven.
Right.
But it's Shimon's progeny that we're talking about, right?
So let's take this one step at a time. So you have again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven, Baruch Hashem, found a wonderful, wonderful zivig, a wonderful woman to marry, and Baruch Hashem, he married her. And that woman came along with the package, and that are the in-laws, the Shver and the Shviger. Okay, he doesn't have to worry about the Shver, but he has to worry about the Shviger. That Shviger was married to Shimon, to his brother.
Okay.
And the Shviger unfortunately lost her husband. Shimon passed away. And now that Shviger falls Liyibam to Reuven. So if the Shviger is the mother of Reuven's wife, then obviously she had a child. And if she had a child, then Oy Bazoy, what are we talking about that Shimon didn't have a child? We're assuming that if Shprintza, the mother of his wife, is the Shviger, then Shimon Mechayra is his Shver. So if he happens to be, which by the way, is, as we said before, you could have a situation like that because an uncle can go and marry a niece. So the niece's parents are there for the Shver and the Shviger of Shimon, of the person who passed away. But once again, if Shimon, let's not get confused. We have Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers. Reuven married a woman. The woman had parents. Those parents are his Chomov and Chamoise, respectively. If the Chomov is his brother Shimon, and the Chamoise is the wife, that's the wife of Shimon. And now, remember, Shimon passes away, leaving over that wife, and that wife is his Chamoise. There's no din of Yibam because of the fact that
he has a daughter.
They have a daughter. The Chomov and Chomov.
Mrs. Reuven.
Which is Mrs. Reuven. So that being the case, so the whole parasha doesn't even begin. The whole parasha of Yibam is Dafka Uven Ein Loi, that he doesn't have a son. He didn't leave over any child. Any child whatsoever. Zera Ein Loi. Anyways, he has no child whatsoever. But here there is a child. It's the wife of Reuven. And that's how she became the Chamoise in the first place. So because of this problem, Rashi says, it's talking about Shemez Bala Benosa Ochev. Oh, this is a Zivik Sheni situation. Now I understand. We have over here, again, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven married a woman, and the woman was a wonderful lady. And she had her parents. And Le'aleinu V'le'aleichem, her father passed away. Meaning Reuven Shver passed away. Okay, these things happen. And now the Chamoisai is around. Who's the Chamoisai going to marry? She spoke to all the Shadchanim, and she married Shimon. Shimon, the brother of Reuven. Okay. Shimon and the Chamoise lived together for a few years. It was such a wonderful marriage. Everybody said, ah, beautiful there. Really a marriage. Ah, kibalik. But unfortunately, Aleinu, Shimon passed away. And now that Chamoisei falls Liyibam to Reuven. Even though she hasn't been his mother-in-law now for quite a few years, in the sense that she had not been married to his father-in-law, because the father-in-law passed away a few years ago. But nevertheless, the name Chamoise applies forever and ever. So now when Shimon passes away, this Chamoise, who did not have children from Shimon, she had a child from the previous marriage, yeah. But we're talking about the Zera Ein Loi, that this Shimon who passed away without children, Rachmon al-Islam. So therefore now that wife, the Chamoise falls to Reuven, says our Mishnah, Potter, no din of Yibam, no din of Chalitza. And if Shimon left over a couple of other wives, they would also be Potter. That's the Potter saying that we spoke about before.
Shimon would not have been able to marry his wife's daughter because she was...
She's married to Reuven. She's married to Reuven.
Right, but the mother-in-law, Shimon can't marry...
Well, he's not marrying his own mother-in-law, he's marrying Reuven's mother-in-law. Reuven had a mother-in-law, and unfortunately his father-in-law passed away. The mother-in-law now is available for anybody to marry. Shimon happens to know the mother-in-law. He was at the chasam, he was at the dinner, blah, 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 blah. And he said, oh,
but Shimon could not marry Reuven's wife. If Reuven passed away, God forbid.
If Reuven passed away and left over his wife,
right.
If that wife had no children, Shimon would have a mitzvah to go and be miyabim her. Because it happens
even
to be.
Though it's Ki'ilu, his daughter, because
his stepdaughter, daughter by, because he's not biological daughter. So in this situation, you're saying is that Shimon marries his brother's mother-in-law, Reuven's mother-in-law,
And then when if Reuven passed, you're saying the reverse.
Right.
Instead of Shimon passing away in this, scenario, Reuven passes away.
Okay.
So
the daughter is also to him because it says if.
Even his daughter, the daughter of his wife.
Right,
it's the earlier case.
So it's not as if that Shimon passed away childless because the daughter is Ki'ilu his daughter.
No, it's not Ki'ilu. It's not Ki'ilu.
No, because one thing if she's author to him
in your,
to marry.
The case that you posited, Reuven and his wife didn't have any children. So since they didn't have any children, were he to pass away, then that wife would fall to Shimon. If Shimon happens to be married to the
mother,
which is her mother,
right?
Because he couldn't marry the mother and the daughter, so he would also be pater,
right?
For the same reason. Yes, sir.
So it still becomes.
You would need three brothers. If there were three brothers, then it would go down to the next brother who's not his mother.
That is correct. Even though this particular person, we haven't spoken about that yet, we're going to focus on that in the Amud Beis. What Jeff is saying is, what happens instead of having just Reuven and Shimon, you had Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. And Reuven could not marry Shimon's wife because it was Bitoy or Bitmanasosoy, whatever, any one of those arroyas. So Reuven is off the hook, but Levi could then go and be Miyabim. But Matthew, we're going to talk about that on the Amud Beis. Anyway, let's focus on the cases of the Mishnah because they are sufficiently complicated as opposed to bringing up with conjecture and speculation other types of situations.
Scenarios.
Good. So now you have the Chamoisai. Again, quickly, Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven had a daughter. Reuven had a father-in-law and a mother-in-law. Father-in-law passed away. Reuven has no intention of getting anywhere close to his mother-in-law. But Reuven has a brother, Shimon, who happens to like that mother-in-law, and Shimon marries that mother-in-law. Nothing wrong with that. That's perfect. Making a mitzvah, she's an almana, he married her, it's beautiful. They lived together a very happy matrimony for a number of years, but unfortunately, Shimon developed nebuch hamachla, and Shimon passed away, leaving over that lady. That lady, remember, was Reuven's former, and halachically continues to be his mother-in-law. Therefore, Reuven cannot go and be miyabim her. And the same thing would apply to if it's the mother of his mother-in-law. Very often when people get married, Baruch Hashem, not only do they get new in-laws, parents-in-law, but very often they get grandparents-in-law, either because the father-in-law has parents or the mother-in-law has parents. And sometimes they have, Baruch Hashem, parents from both sides. So therefore you can have Eim Chomav, that's the mother of his father-in-law, or the mother of his mother-in-law. Sometimes, in certain families, they're going to go and call him Babi, and they're going to call him Umma, or call him Grandma, or whatever the story is. Reuven, of course, is not allowed to marry any of those, so if the husband of that Eim Chamoisai, or the husband of the Eim Chamoisai passed away, and they become available, and they go and marry now Shimon, Reuven's brother. Baruch Hashem, they found a zivik, very fine, warm home. And ultimately, Shimon passes away, and now that Eim Chamov or Eim Chamoisai fall to Reuven to Yivam. Reuven is off the hook, he doesn't have to marry any of them, because of the fact that the Torah asks that Altsan Erva, and not only are they potter, but also any co-wives would be potter. Now, where does the Torah say in Erva about Chamoisai, the Eim Chamoisai, the Eim Chamov? Truth of the matter is that's the very same halacha as the case of the bas ishtoi, bas beno, or bas bita. What do you mean? Because normally when we think about bas beno, bas bita, we think about erbas ishtoi bita. A person marries a woman, now he's not allowed to go and marry her daughter or her granddaughter. Let's go backwards. What happens if he married originally the granddaughter and now he wants to go and marry the grandmother of that woman that he married? In other words, he married a young lady who, Baruch Hashem, had a mother and had a grandmother. So we're doing it in reverse order. Not that he married the Isha and then he lived with her, wanted to marry the Bita, or he wanted to marry or live with the granddaughter. No, it's the other way around. He first married a granddaughter of Shprinza. And there were three ladies over there. He married Sura. The grandmother was Prince, and in between was Gnepel. Good. So, until now, the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is he married Shprinzer, and then after that he lived with Chinendel, or he lived with the Sarah, the granddaughter. No, here it's the other way around. He first married Sarah, and then after that he liked Sarah's mother. That's the Gnendel case. That's Chamoisoy. Or if he wanted to go and marry the grandmother who was Shprinza. So that's exactly the same thing. It's just in reverse order. Not starting over the Isha going down to the Bita and to the Bas Bita, but starting over the Bas Bita and going up to the Bita and going up to the Isha.
And that's all Mutter.
All of these are prohibited relationships. You're not allowed to. That's why it says loy segale. The only one that you're allowed to marry is the Isha. But you can't go and marry the Isha Vita. You can't go and marry the Isha and the Basmina. You couldn't marry, of course, the Basmina or Basmita alone. And then just don't go and marry her mother or her grandmother. But you can't go marry the two of them together. So therefore, that's what our Mishnah is telling us now, that the Chamoise, Im Chamoise, Im Chamav, is just the reverse order of the Bas Ishta, Bas Mino, Bas Bita. So far, all of those are pretty straightforward. Now we get to Achoisoy Me'imoy, his sister, which that sister is a half-sister. Now, how is she a half-sister? Because you have, for instance, you have Yaakov Avinu has a son called Reuven. And you have, let's say, Moshe that has a daughter, Tzipora. I know Moshe was married to Tzipora, but here in our case, Moshe is the mother Moshe is the father of Tzipora. Good. Forget about Moshe. Let's go and talk about Moshe being married to Tzipora, and they have a daughter. Moshe and Tzipora have a daughter. What are you going to call the daughter? Dvorah. Call her Sarah. Dvorah, you like Dvorah? Lazan Dvorah. Good. So now we have Yaakov, who has a son, Reuven, and then we have the Moshe and Tzipora that have a daughter, Dvorah. Now Moshe unfortunately passed away. And Yaakov's wife, which originally was Leah in the Torah, also passed away. So Yaakov is an Alman, and Tzipora is an Almana, and the two, Baruch Hashem, decide to go and get married. Well, that's wonderful news. So they get married. And then what happens? We have a situation where you have now, on the one hand, Reuven. On the other side, you have Dvorah. Reuven and Dvorah, are they in any way, shape, or form related?
No.
The answer is no. Would they be able to go marry each other?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. They can marry each other without any hesitation whatsoever. Good. So now what happens if they don't get married, at least not yet, but rather the two parents got married, meaning Yaakov on one side and Tzipora on the other side, and they had a child. And that child was, Lamazong was a boy, and that boy, what name should we give him?
Rav.
We had Reuven, yeah, exactly. But that's actually Rav's came with it. Two boys came down.
Yeah,
I understand. So let's call him Shimon, since after all they had Reuven. So now we have Reuven, which is a son of Yaakov. I have, on the other hand, I have Dvorah, which is a daughter of Tzipora. And I have in the middle both Yaakov, after he married Tzipora, they gave birth to
Shimon.
Good. So now, Shimon is a half-brother of Reuven. They're both Achim min Av. Shimon happens to be also a brother and sister of Dvorah, but only through the mother. Right, everybody.
Sibling, right? He's a sibling only to her. He's a half. He's a sibling to her.
Half both ways.
Half both ways. Right. Exactly right.
But they're unrelated to each other. The wings are unrelated to one another.
Good. So what happens now if Reuven decides to go and marry Dvorah? And everybody's so happy. It's beautiful because the two families are united. Think about it. Good. No, nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine. Right. Now what happens is, ultimately, Reuven passes away in a terrible car accident, leaving over his wife. And that wife is Dvorah. He also leaves over a brother, the brother being Shimon. Now, since Reuven and Shimon are brothers, so now Shimon is faced with this dilemma. Do I go, I'm going to be Miyabim, my brother's wife? However, that wife is Dvorah, happens to be his sister, right? That was what we posited in the case. Because each one is a half-brother, half-sister. So Reuven and Dvorah were allowed to go marry, no problem whatsoever. Why were they allowed to marry? They weren't related. None of the good. Shimon, when he was at the chasm, he was so happy because his brother's getting married, and his sister's getting married, and they're getting married to each other. which all is fine. And Shimon was dancing. Unfortunately, Reuven passed away without children. Now Devorah falls l'choira to Yibam to her brother. Who is that brother? That brother is Shimon. Shimon says, "But I cannot marry you. Why can't I? Because although the husband that died was my brother, and I have a chiyuv Yibam when my brother passes away without children, however, the Yavama or the Almana happens to be my sister. It's only a half sister. That's why the Gemara calls it a choisa mi'imai, and therefore he's not allowed to marry her. And if Shimon left over other wives, each one of them would be a tzara, so he'd be potter with her as well as with the tzara. So that's a pretty easy case. The next case is v'achois imai. Achois imai means that you have two brothers. Again, these are half brothers, and one of the brothers, the two brothers, have the same father, but they have different mothers. It's similar to Yaakov Avinu, that had a number of wives, and they, of course, all had children. So now you have over here a case where, for instance, Reuven, who was the son of Yaakov, he had one mother, that was Leah, and then he had a brother by the name of Binyamin, who, of course, had another mother, and that, of course, was Rachel. Okay, let's assume that Leah and Rachel were unrelated. This is Leah, and that's Rachel, unrelated. Leah, by the way, happens to have another sister. Call her Shprintza. Fine. So now, what happens over here? Reuven has his mother Leah. Binyamin has his mother Rachel. Reuven and Binyamin are brothers because they have the same father, Yaakov Avinu. What happens is that Leah's sister Shprintza, would Reuven be able to go and marry his mother's sister, his aunt? And the answer is no. Although an uncle is allowed to marry a niece under Jewish law, an aunt cannot marry a nephew under Jewish law. Everybody agrees? Yes. So Reuven is not allowed to marry his aunt. But Binyamin is allowed to marry that aunt because it's not his aunt. After all, his mother was Rachel. And Rachel's unrelated to Shprintza, unrelated to Leah. So he married the aunt of Reuven. Reuven was very happy because this aunt had been looking for Shidduchim already for 20 years. And Baruch Hashem, she got married to his favorite brother, Binyamin. And every 1 second, Jeff, and everything is beautiful. And then Leilenu, Binyamin passed away without any children, leaving over Shprintza. Shprintza now falls Liyibum Lechoyra to Binyamin's brother Reuven. Reuven looks at her and says, "I'd love to go and be Miyabin you, but you're my aunt and I can't go Miyabin you." And not only doesn't he have a din of being Miyabin his aunt, but if Binyamin left over other wives, so not only couldn't Reuven marry the aunt, he wouldn't be able to marry any of those wives because they are all co-wives, they're all called tzars. Yes, Jeff, I see you have a question.
No, I have no question.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, no, that Binyamin was a brother from another mother.
That's right, from another mother. No question about it. Yisher koyach. So getting on to, I know you're thinking to yourself, these are difficult cases. Oh, brother. But we'll do the best we can to understand them.
It gets harder.
Yes, exactly. No, the next case, Achois Ishto, is rather very, very simple case. I'm sorry?
Avoid the whole thing.
Just don't get married, right? And then you have a...
Don't get married or marry someone from another city.
From another city. It could be related anyway. Okay, so let's go on. Now we have Achois Ishto. Achois Ishto is the easiest case, perhaps, of all of these cases. Yes. This is a case of two brothers marrying two sisters, which is fairly common, and I'm sure you all know of, or at least have heard of, a situation where two brothers married two sisters. One of the brothers passed away without children. So now that wife has a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law, and the brother-in-law would like to be miyabim that wife, but he can't, because if he's going to be miyabim her, then he's going to be married to two sisters. And it says in the Torah, Isha l'chois eloi sikach. So, exactly. But we were talking about the both of them are alive. And therefore, he cannot go and be miyabim her. And since he can't be miyabim her, not only is he potter from Yim Chalitza to that achois ishtoi, but just in case his brother were married to multiple wives, he would also be potter from marrying any of those other wives. They're all tzars. That's, again.
How did Yaakov Avinu get around that?
How was he able to go marry multiple sisters? The question you're asking goes back almost to the times of Yaakov Avinu. The Ramban and all the Rishonim deal with that issue. The easy answer is because it was before Matan Torah, and therefore all the halachas and all the psukim and Avrei Moshe and Kedoshim don't apply. But then people are going to say, doesn't it say that the Ovis kept all the yes? That's the follow-up question. Doesn't the Ovis keep all of the mitzvahs? And the answer is that according to Ramban and others, this was only in Eretz Yisrael and not when they lived in Chutz Laaretz. In Chutz Laaretz, they were not mekayim all the mitzvahs of the Torah. And in fact, when Yaakov went and went back to Eretz Yisrael, the first thing that happened was the Rachel passed away as they entered into Beis Lechem. That was on the grainage that was on the border. They entered Eretz Yisrael. Yitaka passed away because he wasn't allowed to be married to multiple sisters since he kept Kol HaTorah Kula in Eretz Yisrael. Good. Anyway, we're getting off on a tangent. We're going back to the final case on the Amud Aleph. The Eishes Ochel Me'ibai. Eish Och Me'imai is a little bit more complicated. It's similar to the Achoisa Me'imai case that we had before. Similar but different. And we start again. Yaakov had a son, Reuven. Tzipoira had also a son. Let's call that son Shimon. So now we have Reuven, Yaakov. Is Nebuch an Alman, he has no wife, he lost his wife, and now Yaakov goes and marries Tzipoira, who was previously Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, but don't ask me, but I know it's an Einikel, let's not go into all that, but the point is that Yaakov lost his wife, Tzipoira lost her husband Moshe, and now Yaakov goes and marries Tzipoira. Each one of them brings into the marriage a son. He brings in Reuven, and he brings in Shimon. Okay, Reuven and Shimon are not going to get married, you have nothing to worry about. Now you have a situation where after Yaakov married Tzipoira, then
they have a daughter.
They didn't have a daughter, they had a third son together who we're going to call Levi. So now we have three boys in the family. We have Reuven, we have Shimon, and we have Levi. Levi is a half-brother of Reuven from the same father. Levi happens to be a half-brother of Shimon from the same mother. So far, so good. Let's go and say now, Shimon. Shimon, who's the son of Tzipoira. Shimon now married a woman. Okay, everything was fine. Shimon was a happy chasen, 1,000 people. Beautiful. And then ultimately, unfortunately, Shimon passed away. What happens now when Shimon passed away? He left over Nebuch, that woman, that the one that he married. She now, who does she marry? She cannot go and marry Levi, because Levi, she doesn't marry Levi, but rather she goes and marries Reuven. Is she allowed to go and marry Reuven? Yes, because there is no relationship between Reuven and between
Shimon's wife.
And Shimon's wife. Now, why didn't Levi go and marry and be Miyabim the wife? Because Levi and Shimon are not brothers min ha'av, they're only brothers min ha'ein. And we're going to learn from a drasha, Achva b'nei Yaakov, that the whole din of Yibam only applies to paternal brothers and not maternal brothers. So once again, we started off with Yaakov marrying Tzipoira. Yaakov brings into the marriage Reuven. Tzipoira brings into the marriage Shimon. Reuven and Shimon are not related in any way, shape, or form. The two together, Yaakov and Tzipoira, had Levi. Levi is now a half-brother of Reuven, Minho Av. Levi is a half-brother of Shimon, Minho Ein. When Shimon now goes and marries whoever he marries, Sprinza, and unfortunately Levi passes away. Shimon passed away, thank you. Shimon passes away. Now who does she fall to Yibam to? She doesn't fall to Yibam to Levi. I would think her brothers, but they're not Achim and Av, they're Achim and Ein. And so therefore he's not allowed to go and marry her, and therefore he doesn't marry her.
And she doesn't fall to Yibam to Reuven either, because he's a friend, he's a stranger.
Total stranger.
Right, biologically.
Exactly. So therefore Reuven says, you know what, I see Nebuch, my half-brother, sister, widow Nebuch is all terribly upset, I'm going to go marry her, which was totally permissible. So Reuven went and married now Shimon's wife, And now, unfortunately, Reuven Nebuch passed away. And now this wife falls to Levi. And Levi and Reuven were biological brothers, Minoav, because they both had the same father, Yaakov. So there's a mitzvah of Eva. However, the problem is that this lady, Shprinza, was previously married to Shimon, and Shimon was an
only maternal brother.
So that's the Eishes Ochev Me'imai. We're not talking about this Eishes Ochev Me'imai at this time. Now, when Reuven passed away, it was Eishes Ochev from the same Ovid. However, since it was she was previously an Eishes Ochev Me'imai, because she was previously married to Shimon, who was a maternal brother to Levi, so Levi cannot go marry her, and therefore
Patas all the tzaras.
Patas her and all the tzaras.
There's no zika gunish.
Exactly. Okay, that was a more complicated case. The next two cases are simple as punch.
Zika is a virus or Zika?
Zika is a...
I didn't want you to do, leave that for another time.
Connection, a link.
Yeah, leave that for another time. It's okay. On to the next Omid base. The Gemara is difficult enough just understanding the concepts.
That's
once
okay.
We bring in anything strange, we just add to the complexity.
Sorry.
Nothing happened. What is this all about? You have over here a situation of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. However, they weren't all born at the same time, as we'll see. Reuven passed away, unfortunately, without children. At that time, when he passed away, he had an existing brother, Shimon. Baruch Hashem. So Reuven passed away, leaving over his wife, and leaving over a brother, Shimon. Shimon is now going to be Miyabim, the wife of Reuven. Right, Barry, you with me?
Yes. Shimon is now going to Miyabim, the wife of Reuven. Yes, he's the next in the three brothers. He's going to do Yibam
Barhomus. He's the only other brother.
Right.
Reuven and Shimon. So Shimon goes to Miyabim, the wife of Reuven. Guess what happens? At some point in time, the mother of Reuven and the mother of Shimon gives birth to a third child, to Levi. Let's make life simple. Levi was born in that interval between Reuven passing away and Shimon being Miyabim, the wife of Reuven. So again, we started off with a mother that had two sons, Reuven and Shimon, and she also was pregnant at the time that Reuven passed away. Nebuch. Okay, let's assume Levi is not interested. No, I'm sorry. Let's assume Shimon is not interested in going and being Miyabim Reuven. But there's another boy on the scene. That's Levi. Let's assume that the wife of Reuven says, "I'm happy to go, and I see Levi such a cute little kid. That's so good with dimples. It's a baby.
She's going to wait 13 years.
She's going to wait 13 years, and she's going to go marry him at that time." The answer is she's not allowed to go and marry him because that's called an Eishes Ochev Shlei Hoyeh Ba'i Lomai, since Levi never met Reuven, because by the time Levi was born, Reuven was never buried, and therefore he no longer existed. There's no din of Yim. How do we know? Because the Pasuk says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov, that there are two brothers that live together. They never lived together because Levi was only in utero when Reuven passed away. So therefore, Levi could never have been Miyabim, the wife of Reuven. But Baruch Hashem, Shimon is on the scene. Shimon is Miyabim, the wife of Reuven, which is, of course, a big mitzvah, and that's great. But Lo Yaleinu V'Lo Yaleichem, not only did Reuven pass away, but Shimon also eventually passed away. Now, Levi knew Shimon, because by the time Shimon was Miyabim, the Eishes Reuven, Levi was already on the scene. He was only a little baby, but he was there. So they were an achim bi'olam. So had it not been for Reuven, when Shimon passes away, Levi would be able to be Miyabim, the wife of Shimon. He might have to wait a few years, but Lemaisi could marry him. However, since that wife of Shimon was previously the wife of Reuven, and Levi was not permitted to marry her because it's an Eishes Ach Shlo Yehoyah B'Olam. So even though Reuven sorry, even though the even though the person that just passed away now was Shimon, and Shimon and Levi were good friends, big difference in age, but they were nice, strong brothers.
Amen.
However, Levi cannot be Miyabim the Ashes Shimon because she is not only an Ashes Shimon, but the former Ashes Reuven, which is an Ashes Achshleyoi by Lamai, and therefore potters from Yibim Vachalitza and potters any Tzaris. The final case is the Kolosoi, which is also a very simple case. Kolosoi means his daughter-in-law. Now, naturally, we're not talking about that his son is still alive, because his son is still alive. How can he marry the daughter-in-law? We're talking about that the son passed away, Leolenu, and leaving over this daughter-in-law. And after the Shivan, after the Shloishim, Reuven, who is the father-in-law of this daughter-in-law, Reuven Baruch Hashem, had a brother by the name of Shimon. So Reuven says to Shimon, Nebuch, my son, passed away, but he's such a wonderful schneer, such a wonderful daughter-in-law, why don't you go and marry her? Yeah, he's allowed to go marry her. Madach, an uncle, is allowed to go and marry a natural niece. He's certainly allowed to go and marry a tzilikim and a niece, because they weren't related at all, blood relation at all. So in fact, Shimon marries the former kolosoi of Reuven. But lo yaleinu, Shimon passes away, so the former kolosoi of Reuven now falls to Reuven. So Reuven now let her go marry kolosoi, because that's an erva. Fine, so therefore not only she potter, but also any of the co-wives. So therefore we've gone through all 15. We've gone through the tzaris. We haven't really touched on the tzaris. We're going to touch on that shortly. Now the Mishnah just throws in one little curveball. The kulan imesu imianu imiskarishinimtu islanders tzarisay and mutarois. What does all of that mean? It means is that the women that are called tzaris co-wives, you determine their tzoros status at the time of the patira of the brother that passed away without bun. If at that time she was no longer a co-wife of the erva, then it's not a problem. So, just again, without going through all 15 cases, let's just go to the first case. Reuven's daughter married Shimon, totally permissible. Shimon, the uncle, married his niece. And then after that, Shimon passed away, lo yaleinu, leaving over the daughter. So he said, Reuven cannot marry that daughter or any of the co-wives. Yeah, maskil. What happens if instead, again, Reuven's daughter married Shimon, and Shimon had a couple of other wives, and unfortunately, Aleinu, the daughter of Reuven, in other words, that first wife that we're talking about, that Shimon's wife, who was his niece, Nebuch, she passed away. And when Shimon heard that, he was at the Levaya, and he gave a hesped how he loved this wife, and it was so wonderful. Nebuch, he got so emotional, Nebuch got into cardiac arrest. Nebuch, lo yaleinu, he also passed away now. Would Reuven be able to go and be miyabim any of those remaining co-wives of Shimon? And the answer is yes. Even though had it been in reverse, had the brother passed away, leaving over his bitoy first, and then Nebuch the Bitoy would have passed away, he would not be able to go marry the Bitoy or any of the Tzaris. But because the Bitoy passed away first, the co-wives who were Tzaris until now lost their status of Tzaris, and therefore he would be able to be miyabim any one of those Tzaris. If he doesn't want to miyabim them, he goes and gives them a chalitza. So that would be a case of mesu. You can also have a case of, let's leave miyanu for a moment, oyniskashu, same situation, instead of Shimon losing that daughter, that niece, to Nebuch to death, he lost her as a result of a divorce. So by the time that Shimon passed away, there was no longer the daughter on the scene. Yet, Baruch Hashem, she's alive and kicking. Maybe she married somebody else. But the fact is that when Shimon passed away, he left over no children. He left over those other co-wives. Reuven has a right and a mitzvah to either do Yibim v'chalitza. That's in this Karshu case. Oishinim zu islanders. What happens if the daughter that married the Shimon turned out to be a childless lady, meaning that she never developed any any of the simone na'arus, the simone bagrus. They went to the doctors, and doctors confirmed that she can never have a child forever. In fact, she doesn't have any of the physical features that normally go along with a girl that matures at bat mitzvah or shortly thereafter. Exactly all the rules and regulations governing eilanus is not our sugya, but the point is that she is a confirmed sterile or infertile wife. I don't know if there's such a word, infertile, but regardless, and therefore what's the halacha about her? It's as if they never got married. It's considered to be a mekach tos. So even though they lived together for a year or 5 years or whatever it is, but lemaisa, she was never married halachically, and that being the case, she doesn't create any tzaris. So Reuven would have a mitzvah to miyavim or to be cholate the remaining co-wife. What is the Mianu case? The Mianu case is that the daughter of Reuven, when she married Shimon, was not a Na'ara yet. She was still a young girl, a Ketana. Let's assume she was 10 years old. Okay. And she went and married her uncle, Shimon. No problem. When she married her uncle, it was a case of a Kiddushin Midrabanan. Why was it a Kedushin Midrabanan? Because the father didn't marry her off. She was married off by her mother or by her older brother. So normally that case is talking about that there is no father. But if there's no father, then there wouldn't be a remaining brother to go and do Yivam. The whole case wouldn't start. The premise of our case is that you have Reuven and Shimon. Shimon passed away, leaving over his niece for Reuven, his brother. How did he marry that niece in the first place if she was 10 years old? Because the father married her off to Shimon. That being the case, then that's a Kedushin Minat Torah. So what is this Ma'enes? Mian is only when you're talking about a Kedushin Rabbana. And therefore Rashi says it's talking about the case that this girl was originally married at the age of 8 because the father married her off to whoever at the age of 8. To whomever at the age of 8. Unfortunately, and that kedusha is a kedusha in the araisa, because it's beaten a satil isha zeh. A father has the right to marry off his daughter before bas mitzvah. But unfortunately, this marriage didn't last forever. He wasn't a good guy. She wasn't a good guy. Whatever it was, and they got divorced. Now that they got divorced, the original father does no longer has the right to go and marry her off to anybody. Why not? He loses that right by the fact that he can only marry her off once, so to speak. She got divorced, and now she is called in Gemara Lashon a Yesoyma Bachaye Yo'av. Even though the father is still around and alive and kicking and loves his daughter, but he no longer has any rights vis-a-vis marrying her off. So who is she going to be married off? Let's say the mother marries her off. That kedushin is a kedushin midrabanan. If she's not happy with her new husband, she has the right to be ma'enes to go and say, I refuse to stay married to this fellow. She has to make that decision before she becomes a nara, before she becomes bat mitzvah. What happens if she made that decision and she says, sayonara, I'm leaving you, and she leaves? She's ma'enes. The husband is so distraught that 5 minutes later, or a day later, or a year later, he passes away. So now what's the din? Reuven no longer is faced with marrying his daughter because his daughter was Mema'ena. She's out of the scene. She's no longer on the scene, no longer on the radar screen. However, all of the remaining tzorais that Shimon left over, the other wives, Reuven could either be miyadim or could give a chalitza. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Kulan in any one of these 15, a Meso, a Mianu, a Neskarshin, so Island is, so to say, Mutar is then, the surviving brother would have a mitzvah of Yibam. However, the Mishnah adds as a footnote, the Atiyocha Lema Chamoisim, Chamoisim, Chamav, Shinim to Islandis, Oishem Mianu. In those three cases, Chamoisim, Chamoisim, Chamav, then you cannot say that in Nimtzu Islandis or Mianu. Why can you not say that? Because by definition, if there's a mother-in-law or a grandmother-in-law, that means that they had children.
Fertile.
And therefore they're fertile, so it can't be an Islandis. And if they had a child, they couldn't have had a child before Bat Mitzvah, because a Ketana is not biologically able to have a child, and so therefore muzach said that she was already bas mitzvah. If she's already bas mitzvah and had a child, she can only be ma'anis. She can only be ma'anis before you get to be bas mitzvah, before she had a child. So therefore, in these three cases, chamois and chamois and chamois, Those two cases are not possible. It is possible of Mesu or Yidiskarshu. That could be. But you couldn't have a case of Nimtza either Nesu Shemina. Okay, continue the Mishnah. Ketzad Poitris Tzoris Seyem. What does that mean, Tzoroi? So that we already explained at the beginning. Hoy Zavitoi, Hoy Achaz Mikol Aroi, so Eilu Nesuais Li Ochiv. Reuven and Shimon, Reuven's daughter married Shimon, and besides the daughter marrying Shimon, he has another wife or two, Umeis, and he passes away, Shimon passed away, and now all of these women fall Yibam to Reuven, Kishem Shabitai Petura, just like Reuven cannot marry his own daughter, because it's his daughter, Kachtaros Petura, that's therefore he's also parted from the other Tzara, that from the other co-wife that was left behind by Shimon. Now, that's Tzara. What is the Tzara's Tzara? Holcha Tzara's Bitei. V'nisiv l'achiv ha'sheni. Oh, they're not just Reuven and Shimon. There's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Let's say all 12 Shifteka. All 12 brothers. What happens? Shimon married Reuven's daughter. Totally permissible. Shimon also married another wife. Shimon passes away. Reuven is not allowed to go and marry the daughter. It's his daughter. He cannot marry the wife because his potter's tzoraseim, like we had in the past. But fine, no problem. Who does marry Shimon's wives? Levi. He's not going to can't marry both of them. He's not interested in marrying Reuven's daughter for whatever reason. And right, he marries one of the co-wives. Now that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And that Levi also had another wife. Now that wife is a co-wife to the wife who was free, to the woman that was previously a co-wife to Reuven's daughter when she was married to Shimon. Right? Let's not get confused. We have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven had a daughter. Daughter married Shimon. Shimon had the daughter, his niece, as his wife together with a co-wife. Shimon passes away. Reuven's not let her go and marry his own daughter or that co-wife. But Levi marries the co-wife. And Levi, in turn, has his own second wife. Now, Levi passes away. Reuven looks at the two women. He says, the first wife I cannot marry because that was my former Tzara.
Of my Bito.
Can he marry the second wife? And the answer is no. Why? Says the Mishnah. Holcha Tzara's Bito, and this is the Ochav Hasheni. That's Shimon's Tzara. Married now, it was even the Siyavim through Levi. V'lo Isha Cheres, and Levi has another wife. Umeis, and Levi dies. Kishem Shetzores Bitei Petura. Just like Reuven cannot marry the woman that was previously Tzores Bitei, and now is Levi's wife, until Levi passed away. Kach Tzores Tzores is also Petura. So now, Levi's second wife, who had nothing to do with Reuven whatsoever, with nothing to do with Shimon, however, Reuven cannot go be Miyavim her either, because that's the Tzara of the Tzara. What happens of that Tzara is now marries Yehuda. Yehuda has a mitzvah of Yibam. He's not interested in the Tzara's Bitoy of Reuven, but he's interested in that second wife, which is the Tzara of the Tzara. And Yehuda marries her, and Yehuda has his own additional wife. So that additional wife is going to become the Tzara of the Tzara of the Tzara. Yehuda passes away. Reuven wants to be Meyavim. Not only can he not be Meyavim the Tzara's Tzara, but he can be married the Tzara's Tzara. What happens now if Yehuda's brother Yisachar decides to go and marry that Tzara's Tzara? He's allowed to, no problem. And he also has another wife. And then Yisachar passes away. And Reuven says, I want to go and marry that Tzara. That's now the Tzara of a Tzara of a Tzara of a Tzara.
That's so far.
I feel like he may, even if they're 100 brothers, and even if they're 101. And like the Mishnah said, I'd say for Olam. Of course, it's difficult to conjecture a case of 100 brothers. He just means it goes
indefinitely,
infinitely, as many brothers there are. Each time another co-wife becomes potter. Lots of tzaris. Phil Amen. Okay, so let's go back to the case. Ketzad in Mesu Tzoresei Mutaris. We said before that if the daughter or one of the other Aroyas died, then the Tzor is Mutar. So, how is that case? And we're just repeating what we said before. Okay, so far so good. And now, instead of the brother passing away, the daughter passed away first. Or there was a gerushin. or like we said before, Nimtza Island is, or as we said before,
Menes.
V'yachach meis ochem, and then the brother passed away. Tzarasim v'teres. Although the first brother Uvein cannot go and marry his own daughter, and there's no reason for him to marry the daughter because she's no longer a Yavama. She's out of the picture already from before because she either died or she's in the scarish or whatever. But the tzar is mutter because at the time of the death of Shimon, that co-wife was no longer a co-wife. She was a single wife. Or if you want, no, that's a very strange term, single wife. There could be multiple wives, but none of them are co-wives any longer of that original erva because the erva left the scene. Oh, now we come up with one brand new case. What happens once again? Reuven and Shimon. Reuven had a daughter. Daughter married Shimon. When she married Shimon, she was still a ketana. And again, it's not that the father married her off, because that would be a kedusha mina Torah. It was that the mother married her off. Why? Because she was previously married to somebody else, and that marriage did not last. And now the husband, the father, lost the rights over his daughter, Tifsem b'chayab. And now she went and married through her mother. She married the brother, so Shimon's wife. And by the time Shimon passed away, she was still Iktana. She was only 11 years old, Nebuch, when her husband passed away. And there was another wife there on the scene as well. There was another co-wife. So now, Reuven obviously can't marry his daughter. That's a double pashut. Can he go and marry that co-wife? That's a good question. Because Minatoira, his daughter was never married to Shimon. It was only a marriage midrabanan. See, if it's only marriage with Rabbanan, it's as if she's not here for Torah purposes. She never got married to him. It's only Kedusha with Rabbanan. That's why she's able to be Ma'anis. But she never was Ma'anis yet. She had the ability to, but the Lamiana. Okay.
It only occurs when she actually is turns 12. It's only like a...
That's the final deadline. When she can be Ma'anis. She can be Ma'anis when she's 11.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, so she was able to. But she was not Menes. And now when her husband passed away, when Shimon passed away, Shimon left this young girl of 11 years old that was not Menes, but could have been, and also left over another wife that is the Tzara. So now Reuven can't marry his daughter, that's for sure. Can he go and marry the Tzara? Minat Torah, yes. Because Minat Torah, Shimon was never married to Reuven's daughter. Says Rashi, Amidrabanon, it's nearest Tzaras Erva, even though Minatoyra wasn't a Tzaras Erva, but Midrabanan is a Tzaras Erva, and nearest is a lesson of Gzeira, the Amaris, Ayin, the same situation, that people think, oh, so you're allowed to go marry a Tzara, without realizing that the daughter was still a Ketana. They don't realize that, and they say, Tzaras Erva is Mutter, therefore the Chum said, don't get married. However, since there is a din of Yim Minatoyra, there's a chiyuv of yivam in our Torah, but since he cannot do the yivam because of this chaser, do a chalitza. Okay, so the Gemara, the Mishnah was fairly complex. The Gemara now is much simpler. Zok Gemara Mechti Kul Miachlis Isha Yofina. This din that you cannot be miyabem an erva, as well as that the tzara is potter. We learn from the pasuk of Isha lechoisel isikach mitte aleha, which we spoke about briefly. The Gemara is going to go into it in more detail tomorrow. But just suffice it to say that the din of not marrying any of the 15 arois, and that their point is tzareseyan, we learn from the pasuk of achois isha. That being the case, pray to Gemara, listening achois isha bereisha. Why do we have achois isha later on in the list? Achois isha should be up front. The 15 arayos are chayis isha. V'chitei matana chumtana. Chumri chumri nokat. Reb Shimon hidiyom esrei v'chamura. I know why he wants to go and put at the front the bitoy mit the bas bitoy mit the bas ishtoy mit the chamoisoy, because there's a din of sreif. It says in the pasuk, if a person goes and marries isha uvita or isha v'ima, says in the pasuk, be'esh yisrafu oisa v'yesen, the din of sreif. Now, we, the Chachamim, hold that skila is worse than sreifa. That's why we say in davening, by the Arba Misa is pesed, skila is very mechanic. However, if Shimon holds that sreifa is more chomer than the case of skila. And therefore, that's why he wants to propel the bitoy cases up front. If that's the case, the ikar word even though here in Parshas Achrei Mois they talk about Eres Isha Uvita Lesegale, but when you get to Parshas Kedoshim, when it talks about the punishments if a person goes and marries these women, it says Isha Sheikachas Isha Vies Ima Zimahi. Like the pasuk could have said Isha Sheikachas Isha Vies Vita, because Isha the Ima is the same as Isha Vita, just depending on what you look at, the
generation up or generation down.
Exactly. But H is the full oisa the asset. So if you're telling me because you want to talk about the din of slave as being chomer, then put chamoise at the first case. And in our Mishnah, it's a chamoise relation. Take a slave, a chamoise exil. Void, bosa chamoise, list the chalosai. The very last case in the Mishnah, you should put chalosai, is number two. The boss is right, is skila chamura. The person lives with his own daughter, with the din of skila. And according to Shimon, after Sreifa comes skila. All the other cases, by the way, in the Mishnah, which are not the bitoy or the bas bitoy or the chamoise case, they're not the kolosi, all the other cases are a din of kares. But there is no nisa,
nisa's
best. How do I know they all have a din of kares? Exactly. So therefore, we should have Kolossi propelled as number two, not as number 15 in the Mishnah. Elasim, I'll tell you why. Bita kim li asmi drasha chavivalei. Bita, you only learn from my drasha. Because again, like Rashi said in the Yomid Beis, we're not talking about a natural daughter. We're talking about this illegitimate daughter of Bita Manisasai. And therefore, it's chavivalei. He wants to tell us the drasha, the din, that we wouldn't otherwise know. All of them we just said before, we learned from Machois Isha that they're all potter and they potter tzuri same. That being the case, no, so put that up front. So when the Indian Yibam Asin Midrasha, Iker Isurayim Behendrik Sidbo. Although the Gabi Hilchas Yibam and pattering and Chalitza, that we learned Midrasha Machois Ishta. However, the Iker Isur says the Fadish in the Torah. However, Bitoi. Iker Isura Midrasha. Bitam Anusase doesn't say in the Torah. Because as we said back in Parshas Achrei Mois, it doesn't mention Bitoy. I mean, Bas Ishta, yes. But Bitoy Manusase, it only says Evas Bas Bincho, Evas Bincho, which means an Einikel. But we're not talking about the daughter. The daughter doesn't say. That's Iker Isura Midrasha. The Amarava, Omli of Yitzhak Bardimi, Asya Heina Heina, Asya Zima Zima. That's why we put it up front, because he wants to tell you the Kiddush of that drasha. What is the drasha of Heina Heina Zima Zima? Very simple. With this, we're going to conclude the boysai for today. That is in the pasuk of Ervas Isha Uvita Le Segali as Bas Benavi as Bas Bita. The pasuk ends off Shara Heina Zima. It says Heina. Here in the pasuk of Ervas Bas Bitcha, Bas Bitcha, it doesn't say Bitcha, but it ends off here Vascha Heina. So I do Exeter Shabbat. Just like the Heina by Ervas Ishu Vita includes Vita. The case of Ervas Bas Bincha, a Vita Manusase, includes Vita. How do I know? Heina, Heina. What is the Zima Zima? Zima Zima is going to tell you the din of the Sreifa. What is that, the din of the Sreifa? That's the next parashah, Parashat Kedoshim, which we spoke about a moment ago. The Isha Sheikach has Isha Vias Ima Zima. Oh, it says over there by the Chamoisa Isha Zima, the Ashias for a din of Sreifa. It says Zima. Going back over here to the pasuk of Ervas Pasbincha Vasbincha, it doesn't say the word Zima. But by the case of Ervas Ishu Vita Loisigale, Es Vasbinovi, Es Vasbita, Shara Heina Zima. Oh dear, it does say Zima. It says Heina Mitzima. So I learned Heina, Heina, to tell you the Isur, the Azhara, that a Yid is not allowed to go and marry Bita Manusasa. How do I know there's a din of Sreifa? That I learned Zima, Zima. That just like by Bas Benoah, or just like by the case of Isha, the Ima, which is the same thing as Isha Uvita, is a word Zima, and there's a din of Sreifa. So now I say the same thing applies, not only with the Isha, where it's a child out of Ishus, a legitimate child, but even Chas V'Sholom, a child out of wedlock, if you go on the Sase, Zima, Zima, also has the same din of Chas V'Sholom, Sreifa. We continue with Shem tomorrow by side. Good. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for listening, participating. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, David. Good to see all of you at Shlomo tonight.
I'm glad I married. No relative. It's going to be 50 years. No complications. Nothing different.
And since you didn't marry more than one wife, Baruch Hashem, no tzuris and no tzuris tzuris. Very good. Yes, exactly. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Saint Zaki Bench, everyone.
Thank you.
Call to Shiva. You're welcome. In.